thing on? Is this thing on?
Yeah,
I can hear me.
I can hear me.
So evidently, we are on the air. We're live. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
And I'm Will.
And guess who is absent? Yes, indeed. Scott L. is taking a little bit of a break this week. So, what, we just lost half our listeners, probably? No.
Not that bad.
Okay, a third. Scott L. Will be back next week. He had a bit of laryngitis or something. And that just wouldn't work out very well on you know, live internet radio. So
it sounds like doo-doo.
Yeah. I did talk to him on the phone, and yike. I'm like, you got a bad cell. He's like, no, this is my voice. So I think we need to let him, you know, recuperate and stuff like that. But we're still going to do Ghostly Talk.
Oh, of course.
Yes, we are live Sundays from 7 till 9 on Zero Point Radio. And it replays, of course, throughout the week at, you know, on Zero Point Radio. And archives are available sporadically at www.ghostlytalk.com. I got the Mark Russell Bell archive up last week. But I did not put, last week's guest up. And I need to, because that was an awesome, awesome show.
She was a great guest.
I had a blast. That was phenomenal. I learned so much. And so I'm putting them up here and there, but it's tough. I mean, you know, I got all this new project going, and you know, so sorry about that, everyone.
And we are supposed to have a guest tonight.
Tonight we're having a guest. Yes, we're going to have DJ Tron of Infatron.com, Infatron.com. He's supposed to come on about half an hour.
Sounds good.
So, yeah. So this is going to be a little bit of a departure from normal Ghostly Talk stuff, because he got, what I know of his story, unfortunately, he exceeded his bandwidth. So I couldn't read all of his story. But evidently he had been kidnapped or taken by the Anunnaki. And they gave him a method or something like that. They told him to create music. And so we'll see what we can do. Let's see what happens.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Now, Zero Point Radio, their link is www.zprradio.com. We're also replayed on Torn Radio, TORN, the online radio network.com, TORN.com. What else do I have to say? I think that's about it.
The thongs.
Yes, we don't have a winner yet. If you get a chance, go to zprradio.com, go to the store, buy a thong, put it on, take a picture of it, females, please, and dash it off to ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com, and we'll pay for it. We will reimburse you for the thong. That's the thongathon. The other thing is, we want people to try and stump Phobos.
Oh, yeah.
Phobos is a regular caller to Ghostly Talk and an avid ZPR listener, and he also does something with relays in the UK for the Zero Point Radio, so that people can hear it, you know, without running into problems. They can hear it from the relays in the UK, or they can hear it, you know, off of the ZPR site. So what happens is he's brilliant.
Absolutely.
Just brilliant.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, so because he's stumped us so many times, what we've done, we've come up with this contest. It's called Stump Phobos. So what we want folks to do is think of a question that you think Phobos won't be able to answer, or something. I don't know. Think of something that you don't think Phobos knows. Email it to ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com.
It cannot be trivia, though.
Yeah, it can't be trivia, like, oh, when was this and that person born, or this and that person worked on what project. It should be more general theory, ghostly theory, paranormal theory. And come up with a paranormal theory question that you think will stump Phobos, and we'll ask him.
Well, think outside the box on this.
Yeah, because he knows a lot. So
yeah.
It's going to be really tough, but we want you to stump Phobos. If you don't stump Phobos, then you'll be embarrassed throughout the whole world, just like we are every week, okay? If you do stump Phobos, you get a prize. And the prize was, what happened was the Scott K. from stagehandtools.com had sent us a box of stuff that he sells on his website, stagehandtools.com, and some of it is absolutely perfect for ghost hunting, because they do the same kinds of stuff. Wander around in the dark needing tools and gizmos and gadgets. So we got this box of stuff, and you'll get something from this box of stuff from stagehandtools.com.
Now, I got the gloves.
Yeah?
And those gloves are nice.
Did you stump Phobos?
No.
Oh, okay. No, I opened the box and took them. That's okay. I got a pack kind of thing that you wear on your belt, and it you hide stuff in it, and you can, you know, ghost hunt with it. So
those gloves are they're just so nice because they don't keep you too warm and they don't keep you too cool. It's good for both warm weather and cold weather.
And you can still operate your ghost hunting gear.
Yeah, they're thin enough to do that.
Yeah, cool. So that's the kind of stuff that we got from stagehandtools.com to give away, and all you got to do is stump Phobos. It can't not happen. It's got to happen sometime.
Someone has to do it.
Someone's got to do it. I mean, I tried. I can't. So we need someone to stump Phobos. Email your question. You also have to email the answer, because if you're going to stump Phobos, guaranteed you're also going to stump us. So email the question and the answer to ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com, so that we can judge whether or not he got the answer right. And we will not tell him the question nor the answer, of course, before asking him. We'll just spring them on him during a phone call.
Well, it's not like we can just, like, you know, go see him and drop him off or anything.
Right, yeah, because he's across the planet.
Thousands of miles
yeah.
away.
So we can't do that. We're going to do it right. So that's it. So, yeah, this is the Scott L. Less Ghostly Talk. One thing I wanted to say also was we are in the chat rooms. If you go to www.zprradio.com, click on Interact, go down to chat, make up a name for yourself, and get in the chat room and be in there with cool people like Resin RF. Fish Meow's in there. Will and I are in there. Max, of course, is in there. OSR Gary. I met Gary. Scott L. and I met Gary at OSR. OSR stands for Ohio State Reformatory. Brilliant fellow as well.
Of course, Phobos is there.
We could probably do a stump Gary contest as well, because he's up there with the unstumpables. Pyro's in there, Psycho Joe and Rick D. So we've got lots of folks in there, and there's more who, you know, join throughout the night, of course. Immediately following Ghostly Talk is a new show.
Oh,
a
yeah.
new show new on show? Zero Point Radio.
The Mars.
Martian Revealer or something,
yeah.
or Mars Revealer, something like that. It was in my last ZPR newsletter. So Ghostly Talk, of course, is live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. on Sundays, and then from 9 till 11 is this new show about Mars.
And then Clyde Lewis.
And then immediately after that is Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero. So talk about an awesome Sunday night lineup. ZPR's got it, you know, got it sewn up. Sunday nights are sewn up, and of course Monday nights / Tuesday mornings are sewn up as well, because then is the absolutely lovely and talented Res Miranda does Resmerized, and then after that is Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie with Rich. So and Rich also does the Harrison Comparison feature of Resmerized. So Monday night / Tuesday mornings just rock as well. So we've got tons of cool stuff on ZPR for you. And that's all I have to say. So we're done.
We're done. Well, we were out last night.
Oh yeah, this is cool, you guys. We went out ghost hunting last night. Well, you know, we're ghost hunters, so we do that kind of thing. And sure enough, we went out. I got nothing.
But Jeff?
Jeff rocked. He got awesome. He was getting orbs everywhere. Little things that could have been mini vortexes, lights and things like that. And then at our very last stop, he got red mist.
And it was in multiple pictures, and then it just went away. It was gone.
Yeah, and he was on the ball last night. He got tons of cool stuff. Lisa's in there. Sith Lord's in there. Whoa, the room's filling up.
Yes.
Cool. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, both Lisa and Sith Lord were out with us last night.
Along with Bonnie and Jim.
Bonnie was with us. Jim was with us.
Dave, Kathy, and Tammy.
Good one. They were with us. We went, what, 5, 6, 7, 10 places?
Let's see, we started out at the train wreck site, where we got that good video last year.
Oh, that's right.
And that was...
Train wreck site?
The train wreck site. Lisa got a good
A good photo at the train wreck site. Then,
We went to Morrow Road.
Morrow Road. Morrow Road is the story of the... Well, you...
There's so many stories.
You're saying it's not, but I had heard Indian Maiden, you know, but you heard non-Indian Maiden, you know, baby...
Left for dead.
Left for dead on the side of the road, and then went back to get it, because it quit crying, and then, I heard couldn't find it, died in a snowstorm, now she wanders the road at night.
I heard hung from a tree, or she hung herself from the tree.
There's so many different versions of the story, but basically, woman in white with baby wanders road at night. And then that was Morrow Road, although that was fun getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always gone from Morrow Road to the train wreck site, not the train wreck site to Morrow Road, and... The roads didn't match up. It was weird.
So the posse was driving around like crazy. It was wacko. But we did find it eventually. And then after Morrow, we didn't end up going to the bridge where the truck had fallen off.
Putty Gut? No.
Yeah, we didn't go to Putty Gut. We went somewhere else. We went to...
Goodrich Cemetery.
Goodrich, yes.
That's one of our favorite cemeteries.
That's freaky. Yeah, that's a freaky one there. That was the last one I physically went to. After that, I sort of tried to pass out in the back of the truck. I couldn't stay passed out, though, because the radios were going like crazy, and we were having fun. But yeah, the Goodrich Cemetery was awesome.
I slept all through Algonax.
Yeah? not a good idea when you're the one, like, giving directions.
Other people need to learn where things are.
Well, I could find those things.
Okay.
But I would have gone a completely different way to get to Morrow from the train wreck site. I would have gone, you know, down through downtown Algonac or along the water there, and then where it curves, and then I would have taken like the street before the
High school.
Oh, I don't know if it's by the high school, but I do know it's the one before the combination Taco Bell and Mobile Station.
Okay.
You turn right on that, and then go to the lit dead ends, and then turn left, and you're on, and then you just watch for Morrow Road on the right. It's like right there. So it would have probably been more like an around the block kind of thing, but well, it wouldn't have been more of an around the block kind of thing than last night. It's not the most direct route probably, but it would have been much, you know.
Yeah.
It would have been much more direct than last night.
Yeah, I screwed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I would have been able to go those two places. From there, I could not find Putty Gut, and I probably would not be able to get to Goodrich, because I know you have to find Kidder Road. That's what I know. But, you know, now after last night, I pretty much know you have to find Van Dyke and then Kidder Road. So,
right.
Or South Kidder, North Kidder, one of the Kidders, anyway. And then that's where it is. But, yeah, that would have been... I would not have been the optimal, you know, navigation person for last night. I was out of it anyway after three stops.
Did anybody get any good pictures over at Goodrich?
I don't remember good pictures of Goodrich. Well, actually, I do. Jeff had some with unexplainable lights in it.
Okay. We know we've had some better pictures at Goodrich before.
Yeah, you got mists on my camera at Goodrich.
Right.
Shocks me.
Yeah, you don't get anything in your camera.
No, I get nothing. I am not good at capturing evidence, and yet I'm a ghost hunter. Go figure. So.
The Custer was great.
Custer, yeah, you guys all went to Custer. I hung out in the back of the truck, and I had to get out of the truck eventually because I got a cramp in my leg, but... You know,
it scared us, actually.
Yeah?
We saw this moving around the truck, and we're like, we didn't hear anybody get out.
Oh, no, someone's attacking Doug!
So we come walking up, we get the flashlights going, and he just pops out from around the truck.
Hello, how
crazy.
Are you?
No, I didn't mean to scare you. I had to get out and stretch my leg, though, because it had, you know, developed a bit of a cramp. So I had to do that. But
those
I didn't even take pictures.
Those pictures were great that Jeff got.
Yeah, well, he did. He got awesome photos.
Well, hopefully, once Jeff gets those over to me, I'll get them up on the Michigan Ghostbusters website.
Well, he promised he's going to get them to me as soon as possible. So, you know, he was going to transpose them or do whatever he has to do to them today at his parents' house, pull them off the camera.
Okay.
What I want to do with them, and I didn't get to talk to you last night because it was like 3 a.m. or something when we got back to Lisa's, I want to take them and put them on a CD because, you know, the Ghost Hunter Conference.
Yes.
In August. I want to put them on a CD and we need to test it, of course. You know how they had...
Like the VCD, so you can just flip through it?
You flip through it with your DVD player. Yes, that's what I want to do. And those I want to include. But we're going to have to caption them and make sure to give him credit.
Right, oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I want to put one of them on the main page of the website, too.
Yeah, we'll have to credit some of the... We'll have to credit them, of course. But the Ghost Hunter Conference coming up in August... You know, that's what they had done for the first one.
Right.
And I was really jealous because they had all this cool stuff for us to watch, you know, and we didn't bring anything. So,
Oh, Jeff's online.
Oh, is that Jeff?
Yeah.
Is he listening? Probably not. He says, hey, what's up? We're doing a radio show. Anyway, then, is that, that's Jeff of last night?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to get we want that stuff because we're going to end up putting that on a CD and sharing it with the other ghost hunters at the conference in August. The other thing coming up next weekend, you know, and I'm all excited, I'm all about this, is Michigan Ghostbusters is having a picnic.
Oh, I can't wait.
And it's looking like there's going to be tons of people. I mean, this is getting to be awesome.
Well, Marilyn from Ghost Research Society, she might be bringing people from Marion, Ohio.
Oh my gosh, that would rock.
So
that would totally rock.
They're for the day, and they have a ghost hunt they're doing on that Saturday night also.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be huge to have them come up.
Well, there's gonna be, from what I've heard, approximately between 60 and 80 people. Including myself.
Right, including myself also.
And 60 to 80 people at Stony Creek Metro Park next Saturday, all ghost hunters and their families. This is going to be totally cool. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And they're from what? We've got, what, 6 or 7 different groups represented?
Probably about that, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Plus freelancers, too. People who have not joined groups and they're actually looking to join.
That's true. That's true. So we've got, it's going to be an, he wants to send you the picture. Not now.
That's a huge file.
Oh, I told him I wanted the unedited file, but cancel it and say we'll do it after the show.
Or email it to
me. Cool, because while we're doing the show, we'd skip out. Now, what's going on in here? I have nothing else to talk about until we get our guest on, and the guest isn't calling for another half hour or another 15 minutes. So what do you want to talk about? The dead battery?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll last through the show.
It'll last through the show, yes.
Just charge it, you know, this week.
I will.
Okay.
I know. This battery, I seem to have to charge every 2 or 3 weeks, so. Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. You know, okay, I don't want to get into this. Because if I get into this, I'll be an hour and a half doing this. We won't have the guest on. But Sith Lord in the chat room, he was with us last night, okay? He's saying in the chat room that all those orbs and all that kind of stuff is dust.
Explain the red mist.
Yeah. What was that red mist then? Red dust? I mean, oh, look, a red cloud of dust. It was paranormal. It was, well, I can't think of any rational explanation yet. I've got to analyze it more, yes, but it looks pretty freaky to me. That's all I have to say. And I'm not getting into the dust thing, no.
Well, think it's okay. Pete, he's this big skeptic.
Yes.
Him and Lisa were up at Pear Cheney. They were kind of checking it out because we're going there in July.
Right.
And Lisa was already back by the vehicle, and Pete had, he was talking. He thought Lisa was still behind him. And he was walking, and he could hear footsteps with him, and he was talking like he was talking, you know, talking to her. And, of course, he sees her then in front of him, and can't figure out what he was hearing. But yeah, he doesn't believe.
Right.
He's walking through a cemetery. There's footsteps next to him, but there's nobody there.
Yeah, he doesn't believe his own ears. Well, there you go.
I'm going to catch the riot act for this one.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't delete your file on his computer.
Yeah, really.
Too much valuable stuff in there, Pete. Don't think of that. Oh, I know what I forgot to mention. Thank you, Bonnie.
Damn.
No, it's your birthday.
Yes, it is.
It is Will's birthday. And
24 years old.
Awesome. And you are unhitched.
Yes.
So you're available.
Yes.
Yeah. So all the more reason to send your thong pictures in, ladies. Send them to ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com. Because Will will see them.
Well, Scott's single also.
And Scott's single. I'm single. Oh, this sucks. Shut up. I'm getting depressed. Now. Shut up.
Sorry, I'm
still 27. Yeah, thanks. Oh, man. Oh, anyway. Thank you, Bonnie. Bonnie was with us last night. Her and you rode together.
Yes, and Jim.
Yeah. So, I was in the back of your truck, so.
Passed out sleeping.
Well, only a little bit. What else? I don't know what else to talk about. I'm like, when Scott's here, I can just like, he'll just bring something up, you know. The thing is, I don't want to get into the... All right, let me talk about Dust.
Okay.
Because Pete is, like, wanting to know, I'm sure. There is indeed that phenomenon of... that people say dust particles in the air causes orbs when you take digital photos. Digital camera photos. And you can reproduce this. We've done it. You can go and, like, take a pillow or whatever, an old dusty pillow, and bang on it, and then take a picture of the air, and you see the orbs that are created, you know, in the air. And the experiment has been done by other folks as well. It's up on the web. You can search for it.
Oh, yeah. And, a lot of people have done it.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you get, like, when you do that, you've got this immense amount of, because I've done it, you get this immense amount of orbs in the screen. And they're slightly different. I mean, they're a little bit different than the ones taken at night. But they're, I don't know, you can just tell. Not only that, when you send in the photo, because they did indeed when this all first started, unless this is one of them rumor things or an urban legend, somebody had sent in some pictures to Sony, who, you know, were pioneering the digital camera movement, you know, with their Sony Mavica. And Sony sent back a thing saying, oh, no, that's what the camera saw. That's what was there. It didn't digitize it. It didn't, you know, it's not what everybody is saying. So, although I'd like to really find out who sent it in, wouldn't you?
Someone in myself.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
you want to do that?
Definitely.
I think it's a good idea.
So we can prove to Pete once and for all.
Yeah. Sony says this is not, this is what was there. Why not?
I did get a good picture on Memorial Day.
Yeah?
The one with the face from the from that house. You know which one I'm talking about?
What, the one on the website?
Yeah. The one on the message board that I put.
On the message board. Yeah, I saw that.
We took it during the day, and there was a mist. There was no flash used. And it wasn't there when we were, you know, we didn't see it, but it's definitely a face, and then underneath the porch there's two more faces.
Wow.
So, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. I've seen some amazing photographs in my time, and I think that, you know, I don't know, I just think that every single little bit that you capture on film will help build the body of evidence. So, go out. Do some ghost hunting. That's what I'm out doing. Or that's what I was out doing last night, anyway. Awesome. Is it time for break?
It's time for break.
All right, we're going to do a break. Good, because I'm out of things to say, and I don't want to get onto that dust thing. So this is Ghostly Talk. We'll be back, hopefully, with our guest.
Yes, hopefully.
See if he calls in. have a question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been resmerized.
I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah, what's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Let me write this down. It's 1-888.
Yeah.
520-1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. We'll talk to you later, dude.
Cool. Catch ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
MrOlaf.com. See what you've been missing out on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Services such as web and pop3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Ghosts in white linen, never touching the ground. Kids ringing doorbells, making their rounds. Ran out of Snickers, I don't have any more. A pack of Bart Simpsons threw eggs at my door. If I catch you, I'm gonna get you. Oh, you bastard, I'm gonna catch you and wring your neck.
We'll be right back. entitled Undignified Ways to Die.
Okay.
All right. Skin diving with gas tanks you stole from a dentist. Renting a basement apartment in Venice. Wearing clown shoes while walking through a minefield at night. Getting a life-size tattoo of someone your height. Mistaking a python for your favorite tie. Hang gliding at night on the 4th of July. Having a bowling ball dropped on your head. Mooning some cannibals who haven't been fed. Teasing some Scots for wearing their kilts. Approaching a chopper while walking on stilts. Swimming with sharks in a suit made of meat. Flashing yourself through a hippo in heat. Slapping the head of a bald, drunken sailor. And telling your date's burly dad, $5 says I nail her.
Oh, my
Whoa, it's all going on in the chat room, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of action going on.
Oh, yeah, they are absolutely going crazy in the chat room. They're coming up with all the digital dust phenomenon kind of exclamations.
At least they're following the show.
Live it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, usually in the chat rooms, what they do is they don't follow the show very much. I mean, a little bit here or there, but usually they're just, like, all over the map as far as, you know, what they talk about. And then, but this time, evidently mentioning the Digidust phenomenon really got everyone going, you know. Anyway, I'll tell you what. We are very fortunate. We've got a guest. We have Tron. Nope, don't touch that. Don't touch anything yet. We have to hear him in the headphones first.
That's true.
Yeah. So we've got DJ Tron on. He does a website called infatron.com. That's infatron.com. And we're going to hear from him. If you want to chat with us, so you can ask us questions to ask him. You can't call in or anything while he's on the phone, but you can, get in the chat rooms. You go to www.zprradio.com, click on interact, go down to chat, make up a name for yourself, get in the chat rooms, and we'll pass on questions to him as we see them.
Definitely.
Anyway, I'm Doug. You, of course, are
Will.
And this is Tron. Hey, Tron, how are you doing?
All right, I'm all right.
I heard you're not at home base. You're on some kind of tour.
Yeah, I'm on a road trip right now, and now I'm in San Diego. I just left Phoenix like 3 weeks ago. We went out to the mountains in Phoenix with a video camera and everything, hoping to get UFO shots for videos and stuff like that. So that's what we want to do. We want to put the UFOs on the videos while they come out. I think that would be, you know, first time thing. Pretty cool.
That is really cool. Have you been getting any good stuff yet, or?
In Minnesota, we caught two UFOs, a triangle over Rochester, high in the air, and we zoomed in, and boom, what do you know, it's a triangle with a white light in the middle and three reddish lights on each corner. And then a boomerang ship flew right above the KTTC newsroom in Rochester, flew over the park, and we were ecstatic about that because we got a close-up on that one. And in Phoenix, some things happened, but I'm going to have that be a surprise because we're going to put everything on infotron.com and as far as the contact footage and everything and incorporate into videos. That's going to be how we do it. You know?
Oh, that'll be awesome. Well, I know I was on infotron.com earlier, and I read a bit of your story. But, of course, you know, since we're actually talking to the man, we're talking to DJ Tron right now. I want to hear what is the story. I know you're like right now you're out and about gathering this footage. There's reasons, though, and your reasons are among the best. So let's hear it from you. Why are you out and about? What's your story? Why are you doing this?
Well, we're starting our record label, we being me and John. And John was one of the people that was with me when we had our first encounter in Arizona with Fleet of Discs.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's start at the beginning. You're an abductee?
No.
You had an encounter with the Anunnaki?
Right, we had a psionic encounter.
Oh, let's talk about it. What's up with that?
What basically happened was we had found out about this place called Canyon Lake. I was going to college in Mesa Community College in Mesa, Arizona, near Phoenix. And friends were telling me, yeah, you got to go out to Canyon Lake. You know, you go camping out there. And, you know, it's a real good time, and, you know, swimming is always hot and everything. So we went out to Canyon Lake on Saturday afternoon. I think it was the October 13th, the 7 days, or it was October 15th, 7 days before our encounter, which happened the following Friday night. And we had so much fun that we decided to come back the next Friday and go camping and start at night and then wake up in the morning and, you know, go hiking through the mountains. So we had gotten there Friday night at about 9 o'clock, and there was not a cloud in the sky. All the stars were out and everything. And we get up to the first observatory point of the lake, and this is after I had already gotten into the extraterrestrial, you know, mind frame, because it was kind of meant to be, because I had been learning all this information previously that was blowing my mind. And then to come out there to Canyon Lake that night and to stop at the observatory point and see two silver discs hovering above the lake. And there's a quarter of a mile down, this big ravine is the lake. And you've got to imagine this. You're up at this observatory point with, like, little binocular things where you can pop quarters in there and look at the lake. And you're looking out at the lake, and it was about 9:30 at night on October 22nd when we first spotted the two silver discs hovering above the lake. One of the discs went behind the canyon wall to the right, and then the other disc came kind of closer to us and above the shore. And we could kind of see that it was pretty big because we had gone swimming, you know, the weekend before, and the discs were big, or at least a house big, above the lake. And because it came onto the shore, you could kind of tell because of the trees and stuff. And then it came closer to us, and it stopped, like, on the hill coming up toward the observation point. It lifted up a little bit. It flashed a little green light. And at that point, we were like, man, we might get abducted because we've seen all the movies and stuff. And just as it flashed the green light at us, it blasted us a bunch of air. I'm talking, you know, hurricane-force winds. So we could stand forward in it, and with the wind, it felt like it was a bunch of positive energy reinforcing us that nothing was going to happen to us as far as, you know, getting abducted or anything, because these weren't, you know, the grays or anything. So after the wind was blasted us, we got all this positive energy and were reinforced that nothing was going to go wrong. And then that disc, it must have gone underground because it went behind some boulders. And after about 2 minutes, we had gotten back into our car, and we were just like, oh, my God, can you believe that? You know, we're looking straight out in my car's windshield at the lake, and this huge, huge ship comes above the lake, and there's a whole bunch of people around here now. Just, you know, I'm on a payphone in San Diego talking about this, and there's, like, a whole bunch of people. I don't know if you can hear them.
I can hear them, but I imagine they're probably as interested as well. But...
But, okay, so the huge ship comes above the lake, and it was a good 200 feet above the lake, and we're like, that must be freaking huge. You know, we're saying worse things because it's the heat of the moment. We're like, oh, my freaking God, you know, what is that? You know, and it's coming closer and closer and closer, and by the time it gets, like, halfway between us and the lake, we realize how big this thing is. It had to have been a football field big, like at least a half a city block big. This thing was huge, okay? This was not a mothership, but it had to have been a flagship or a brothership or something, you know. And as it came right above us, it came right above our car, and it was about 200 to 300 feet above our car, and we were all looking out our windows. If you could imagine us saying, what the f*** is that? You know,
I know, I'd be shocked.
John and Jacob looking out straight up at this octagonal shaped craft with all kinds of lights under it. And just at that point, we were like, man, you know, trying to like, you know, are you seeing this? You know, yeah, I'm seeing this. This is a freaking ship. And it, at just at that moment, all of our minds basically entered the mind net to where we could receive messages from them. And that's like where it really got, you know, absolutely wild. I could see like pyramid formations in my third eye and swirling around like spheres and stuff. And it was all information. I couldn't, you know, just totally translate it right there because it's not really English or anything. It's more like pictures being shown to you, like feelings, you know, being transmitted. And those are the same, you know, that's the same energy that comes out in the galactic sound waves, because that's what the galactic sound waves is about. If you, you know, don't have the money or whatever to go and try to make contact, or there's just too many people on Earth anyway, you get the galactic sound waves, you will have the encounter that we had, because this is the information that they want humankind to have. And that's what the galactic sound waves is all about.
Well, and have you been able to process all of that information yet, or is it does it slowly reveal itself to you?
It happens over time. It does, because right away, you know, we don't know exactly what was said to us, you know, but over time, like through life experiences, it's like a magical thing, and it happens. It's through God too. That's why we know it's a positive thing, because you know, magical things will happen in real life, positive things, and it'll reflect, you know, it's very hard to explain.
So these are positive messages then? When they read, like as you learn what was said.
There's something about Bobby's over here, my friend, they're kind of like getting loud.
Uh-oh. Well, I know that there's a lot of people wanting to know in the chat rooms that these messages, is this the reason that you're doing your this is the reason then that you're doing your music and
right.
And on tour now?
Yes.
So did they tell you to do this, or was this what you thought of, hey, I've had this experience and now, you know, I can put it to good use, or what happened? How did the music come out of this?
Both ways. See, they knew that I wasn't gonna stop once I realized what this whole thing was about. No way I can stop now. This is, you know, my life's goal. This is what I was put on this planet for. You know, so once I realized that, then they knew they had somebody that they could count on to really do this, not me just give up or anything. You know, because I had to go through struggles ever since then. You know, they could have just dropped down a couple $100 million for us. You know, and just, you know, live on this and, you know, do your thing. But they didn't do that. You know, so it's obviously, you know, it's kind of up to us to do it.
And you're spreading the word through your music, are you going to write books too, or is it music mostly that your message?
Because all you have to do is listen to this music, and you'll have out of body experience and be able to. If you're already a hypernaut or a psychic or a remote viewer, it's going to be easy for you to enter the mind net. The mind net is going to be the next form of entertainment for humankind. It's in your third eye. You can grasp onto it, connect to the galactic entertainment. It's part of your superconscious. And that's that. If you listen to this music, if you're on a psychedelic trip, or if you're astral projecting, or if you're, you know, just a natural psychic, you enter the mind net. And the music is the cursor to the mind net, just like a mouse pad is the cursor to the internet. That's what this music is.
Oh, so this is I did understand that from the website was that the mind net is more it's more of an idea than an actual place, but it's something that everybody can get to.
Anybody can get to, and it's an idea simply because that's what we coined it as, the mind net. But it's Dallas is another term for it, the vast active living information system. A lot of people have coined this fifth dimensional place. In different ways, we call it the mind net simply because, you know, it's a cool thing to say, mind net, you know.
Oh yeah.
Awesome place. I mean, I've been there, and through that, any mental communication with any being in the universe and between humans to humans is possible, and that's through the mind net is where we were contacted through when they flew above us in their ships, and all the beings in the galactic network use mind net. They communicate with each other. They control their ships with their mind.
So you basically were not forced, but you were invited into the mine at the one time by proximity that they were there with you. And then you developed this musical system to help get yourself and other people into the mind net. Have you been visited by proximity, like through the normal five senses again as well? Like have you seen like more of these ships come to visit you? Or have you just captured them on film as you're going through your...
I've seen ships around. When I was in Syracuse, I saw a long, straw-shaped ship way up. It must have been in the stratosphere, and it had to have been a couple of miles long. And just 2 days later, when I was in Syracuse, a whole fleet of starships flew over the city, and all of Westcott, the township, saw it. And people were telling me, yeah, you know, the fleet of ships flew, and it was like the day before that I was talking about it with the group from the Westcott area, and it was just... A lot of strange things have happened as I've been going around, you know, the country, you know, doing this mission. You know, it's just meant to be. It's pretty soon there's going to be starships everywhere. Starships that we saw have obviously been, you know, through warp holes into space. These things are just absolutely fantastic. These are not from this planet. These have been to space. And they, you know, these things are just, I want one. After we saw one, we were like, man, we want one.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
The house, it's your, you could go and just kick it by the moon or something, and, you know, just stop on a mountain and vaporize your own mana food. You know, you don't have to eat disgusting government chicken or whatever that will kill you. You don't, you know, you just, it's your house. You're kicking it, and you can travel anywhere, and you don't really need to be held down by the system.
So these, but these ships that, you know, now I do read... Every single week, I read Filer's Files, you know, by George Filer, and he puts together a collection of sightings that were, you know, reported to New Force and other places. And a lot of people recently have been seeing, primarily, I've heard of two, or read of two kinds of ships. The triangle-shaped one, which is what the very first one that you mentioned.
Well, weren't those originally from, like, the Belgium area?
Over Rochester, Minnesota. And we have that on videotape. We're trying to. It's not a. We didn't have a digital camera, so we need a converter to transfer to the digital format, so we can upload it onto the website. But really, really soon, we are going to have some more footage up there. But we're, you know, it's a slow process. There's a lot of things that these guys are doing, obviously, meaning the extraterrestrials, and it's like they can't just, you know, be somewhere right when you want it, because I've had times where I tried to summon them and they just wouldn't come. they're on their own mission, you know, and maybe the time wasn't right for me, you know, but it's all gonna happen fast. Now it's already 2003, the end of the Mayan calendar is coming soon, you know, Bush is already in control, reptilians have absolutely taken over the entire planet, just as prophesied since Babylon, and it's all about to happen, you know.
And we're talking within then 14 years?
I am not the person to just say it's going to happen here.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I didn't want you to be, but I know end of Mayan calendar is, what, 2017 or something?
Well, 2012.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A lot of different, you know, people say, you know, we're a year behind because of, you know, this and that, but it's basically around the area.
So that's when either things are going to happen or things will at least heat up, and this is the time frame anyway.
Right. I mean, just look around the planet now. There's absolute chaos going on. Every single area of the planet is going through some major, you know, governmental restructuring for the New World Order.
Well, that I have to agree with you on. I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of person or very political either, but. You cannot help but notice the political changes as well as the earth changes. There's a lot of earth changes going on as well with bizarre weather patterns. And, I mean, right now it's still springtime here in Michigan, yet it's been summer for some weeks. And it's supposed to be, you know, 86 or 87 degrees. It just isn't. And so there's earth, you know, weather pattern changes, earth changes with volcanoes, and earthquakes, and I mean, it's just, it's all going on. I mean, you can't help but notice that this stuff is happening, which is interesting. I mean, that falls right in with Art Bell's The Quickening.
Right.
So,
yeah, Art Bell.
I mean, it's just all seems to be going on right now, which is kind of scary in a way.
Right now they're playing the music on Art Bell Station out in Corrupt, well, KTAH. They're doing some responses from New Zealand. People in New Zealand are really interested in galactic sound waves.
Oh, New Zealand. That's another. I actually got a couple of emails from folks in New Zealand. Not related to this, but it's interesting. They do seem to be very well connected anyway. So I know that the folks in New Zealand are paying attention to what's going on. I wonder if that's significant. I have a question though. When you listen, how do you use your music? Because I've heard your music, and we played a snippet of it without your permission on Ghostly Talk. What I'm wondering is, how do you use it to achieve this? Do you kick back, relax? I mean, what and to, in order to join the mind net, what? How do you use it, other than just enjoy it? Because
I can just fold right over it out. It's just natural. At first, I had to dig deep to try to find the right vibrational frequencies in my mind to try to, the main thing I try to do is just I sit back. It usually comes to me about night. My spiritual awakening comes at night when I sit down and get in front of the keyboard and try to figure out what goes where. And it's a relaxing meet your body type thing that happens to me when I enter the mind net and start channeling. And I mean, it's another thing that's hard to explain, because natural things just happen, but the best way I can explain it is every time I hit a key that is supposed to be there, I'll know it, and to get that key and flip it into 16th notes to where the human mind is able to skip, then you can switch the different notes up and then get the ideas that are in the mind net come in thought patterns, and those thought patterns can be broken down into sounds, because sounds give you emotion. When you hear a song that you love from your kid, your childhood, it brings back nostalgia, it brings back like the whole time of that time. Sound waves are a very powerful thing, and every time I channel these sound waves, I get the emotion and the feeling that is supposed to be for that song, and it just happens to work, it just works, and I can't believe every time the song is complete. Did that come from me? It did, but it didn't, because it came through me. We were contacted, if they picked the right musician, I guess, if they could just pick somebody, who was going to make something that was pretty weak, and claim that, extraterrestrials contacted us, but obviously this is not weak.
Well, I noticed that, because I've done a lot of research into psychic phenomena and just other phenomena in general, and I noticed that a lot of people talk about vibrations. They have to raise their level of vibrations in order to contact or channel and things like that, and that is done by relaxation and basically, getting in tune and things like that. So what happens with... Yeah.
How psychedelics, powerful psychedelics. I'm not a person that's into drugs or anything. I won't touch heroin, cocaine, or any hard drug like that that'll get you strung out on the street. But the key to our existence is to have a psychedelic experience in life. From the Native Americans eating peyote, in Africa and Southern America, eating the magic mushroom. I'll tell you what, that's how you can get to the mind map easier than spending, we're so programmed now, it's so hard for us just to, be psychic. All across the planet, most people are programmed. That's why there's psychedelics, so it's easier for people to do that.
Well, there's a bit of news on that front as well. I know that, because I'm very, very, being here in Michigan, in the Detroit area, I'm very close to Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and they're making it legal to possess personal amounts of marijuana. So I know that that kind of stuff seems to be changing politically as well now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm out in California, and out here you'll just smell it everywhere.
Yeah, and that's something that I thought I'd never see in my lifetime. So that's just...
It's good. It's good.
It's amazing. So
exit draw a line and put all drugs on one side of the line. So that confuses people. So when they try something like marijuana or, you know, acid, they're like, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. Well, government did heroin illegal. I guess that's not that bad, too. So then they go try that, and they end up, you know, like Jimi Hendrix, for instance. You know, that's one example of what of this exact story. You know, he's a psychedelic person, but then without the right education from the government, you know, heroin comes along, and then he gets addicted to heroin. There was a great musician right there.
Right. A loss to the musical world and in general, so the world in general. So that, yeah, there is a line that when you go over it with those hardcore drugs, that it's pretty tough.
I just want to let people know that.
I'll tell you what, we have to go to break because it's now 7:59 here Eastern Time. We have to go to break. Can you hang on for just a few more minutes? Okay, cool. We're going to go to break then, and we'll be back, and I'm going to ask a couple more questions of our guests. DJ Tron, infatron.com, infatron.com. We'll be right back. Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Res Miranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Res Miranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Res Miranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Res Miranda, and you have been Resmerized.
Here we go, down the road, uh-oh.
80 hillbillies in Tennessee all went riding on Highway 3. They took a turn and they headed west. Why they did that? Anyone's guess. There were 87 of them when they started out. But five of them died and two fell out. One named Buck, his wife was half dead. He should have left her at home, but he brought her instead. They were driving west on County Road 8 when they spotted a house that looked just great. 4 stories tall and 50 yards wide, the hillbillies decided to step inside. They parked in front and got out of their cars, took in some moonshine in mason jars, got their guitars and their fiddles too, and started playing Billy, Billy, Billy Bayou. They were all laughing and dancing and acting real silly, but what can one expect from 80 hillbillies? They had a big party and did what they wanted. They never suspected that the house was haunted.
80 hillbillies in a haunted house. 80 hillbillies in a haunted house. 80 hillbillies in a haunted house. 80 hillbillies in a haunted house.
81, the accountant Buck's spouse.
81 hillbillies in a haunted house.
They were all laughing and a cussing and drinking beer. The hillbillies started to disappear. First there was Luke and Lula and Mac. Then there were more. It was hard to keep track. Well, Dickie Wayne Price screamed real hard.
There's 5 dead hillbillies out in the yard. They searched the house and they found two more, Hector and Peanut, out on the floor. They found Debbie's head on the top of a broom. They found the rest of her in the very next room. A lot of strange things happened that night. They kept finding bodies left and right.
69 hillbillies in a haunted house. 69 hillbillies in a haunted house. 69 hillbillies in a haunted house. 69 hillbillies in a haunted house.
70 if you count Buff's spouse.
7 old hillbillies in a haunted house.
2 were attacked by the walking dead. 3 got a hatchet right through the head. 6 got eaten by giant rats. And 1 got killed by vampire bats. 6 hillbillies got stabbed with swords. And 1 got hit by flying boards. 3 got electrocuted by an electric wire. And 2 hillbillies just caught on fire.
45 hillbillies in a haunted house. 45 hillbillies in a haunted house. 45 hillbillies in a haunted house. 45 hillbillies in a haunted house.
46 if you count Buff's spouse.
46 hillbillies in a haunted house.
Downstairs, hillbillies danced all night. Upstairs, they were dropping left and right. Drinking moonshine, 100 proof. 2 hillbillies just fell off the roof. 3 got strangled by the crawling eye. And 2 hillbillies just started to fly. 3 got eaten by a giant moth. And 4 hillbillies got their heads chopped off. 2 hillbillies had a heart attack. And 1 hillbilly got stabbed in the back. 3 hillbillies had screaming fits. And 4 hillbillies got shredded to bits.
21 hillbillies in a haunted house. 21 hillbillies in a haunted house. 21 hillbillies in a haunted house. 21 hillbillies in a haunted house.
22 if you count Buff's spouse.
22 hillbillies in a haunted house.
5 hillbillies just split in 2. 8 got chased by sticky black goo. 7 hillbillies watched I Married Joan. But during the commercial, they turned to stone. That only left Buck and his half-dead wife. And Buck got stabbed by a flying knife. She sat and watched him as he bled. She's the only one left and she's half dead.
1 hillbilly in a haunted house. 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 She's so tired she's gone back to bed. She's the only one left and she's half dead. Suddenly Buck came back to life. He sat straight up and he told his wife,
I don't care if you're half dead, come with me back to bed. If we're gonna increase our population, we better get started with some copulation.
2 hillbillies in a haunted house. 4 hillbillies in a haunted house. 8 hillbillies in a haunted house. 22 hillbillies in a haunted house.
Make that 50 thanks to Buck's spouse.
50 hillbillies in a haunted house.
Excellent. What one did you just play? Was that the Hillbilly?
It was the Hillbilly.
Oh, finally, you guys got, everybody got to hear the Hillbilly song, the however many hillbillies in a haunted house. And that's the one. Now, if you remember last week, just before our guest came on, the folks in Texas had a power outage. And that's why, and we're in Michigan, so we had no clue other than all of a sudden they dropped out of the chat room. And everyone's like, I can't hear it. What's going on? And so, you know, this is all virtual stuff. And what happens is you guys did not get to hear the Haunted Hillbillies in a Haunted House or whatever. Hillbillies in a Haunted House song. So we got Will to replay it this week. I love that song. Good song. Now, we are very fortunate. We have DJ Tron on from Infotron.com. And he's describing how he's a contactee from aliens. He was out and about. Saw spaceships. They contacted him through a psychedelic experience, or no, psionic. I'm sorry, psionic experience. My notes. I don't have notes. This is all written down in my head, and through a psionic experience. And since then, he's gone on to take their what he's learned from them, and as it unravels itself, he is creating music in order to help other. Well, not only is it cool stuff, but also it helps others enter the mind net. So let's find out a little bit more about the mind net, if you don't mind, Tron. I'd like to learn a little bit more about the mind net.
No pun intended, hon.
What's up with like in the mind net? You said there's like everybody, right?
Yeah, any and everybody who's psychic goes through the mind. That's the fifth dimension. Well, first I have to break down this. This will make it a lot easier for everybody. The first three dimensions we exist in are length, width, and height. All objects in the universe have a length, width, and height. Without time, the fourth dimension, all objects in the universe would be absolutely still. Through time, the fourth dimension, you see things move through the three-dimensional world that we live in. Those are the first four dimensions. The mind net, or the infinite thought realm, is the fifth dimension. All beings in the universe gather their thoughts from the fifth dimension to our bodies. So the fifth dimension is the mind net. All beings in the universe, when they die, they exit these first four dimensions, the solid pieces of the universe, your body, and you exit into the fifth dimension to the rest of the dimensions. And people are thinking the soul is the sixth dimension, but you can't really think past the fifth dimension because that is your thought. You know what I mean? So through the fifth dimension, mental communication is possible between human to human, animal, human to extraterrestrial, extraterrestrial to extraterrestrial, and that's how they do it. And that's the basic summary. I just wanted to get that out of the way. So the first five dimensions are the key. That's the basis of all knowledge of our existence.
So that's
one thing that I learned from the contact. And that's a very important thing because you don't learn that in school. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't learn that in school, and that's like the basis of our existence. So the mind net, which anybody can enter through a psychedelic experience or just listening to the galactic sound waves, which is the cursor to the mind net to enable you to get this information about what you need to do in these last days and the energy that you have to possess and the positivity you have to try to muster up through these times. And that's how you get it, is through the mind net. And the mind net itself is an infinite realm which you could travel anywhere in our universe and others through your mind, and you'll see it absolutely clearly and visually. You'll be at a beach on planet Nebula or whatever. You'll be there, you know, in your mind. It's the third eye, and it's the next form of entertainment, I think, because it's better than TV. I'll tell you that much. That's the basic sum of it. Is that all right?
Oh, that's awesome. What I'm wondering is when you're in the mind net, so when you're experiencing the mind net, You have a sense of other beings, you know, otherworldly beings, and you know, interplanetary. You have a sense of animals. You have a sense of other humans. You have a sense of the reptilian folks. About how many different is there like a number for the different species or different intelligent mind net visitors? Are there, or is it just, or doesn't it matter when you're there?
Through the mind net.
Ooh, I did not know that. Okay.
That's one thing we got up on them, because they can't use the mind net. They, when the reptilians and the hybrids, when they eat their adrenaline glands or whatever, they simply enter the lower vibrations of the lower fourth dimension time, and that's basically hell, which when the reptilians and the hybrids die, they go there, and they're trying to trap all the souls there to the lower fourth dimension, the lower vibrations. And when you enter the mind net starts at the fifth dimension, so it bypasses their entire thought realm. So that's what the galactic network has to offer.
So they're operating, they're basically trapped.
Yeah, they're trapped. They're banned to this planet, started back in Babylon, by the galactic network. And why does the galactic network allow them to even, you know, do the things they do? Well, simply because of this. Why do we allow the alligator to eat the zebra as it tries to cross the Nile every year, when thousands and thousands of zebras cross? Because the alligators need to eat also, you know. I'm sure we feel sorry for the zebras, but if we, you know, help all of them cross, then the alligators are going to starve. The reptilians do need to feed off of the negative energy on the planet, and that's why they create the wars. And the galactic network and the rest of the beings know this. So it's a karma balance.
it makes a lot of sense. Balance of karma. I think so they're feeding on our on the negativity, which of course there is an abundance of.
Yes, when the reptilians die, the dead lower fourth dimensional demons feed off the negative energy of the planet. So the live reptilians have to try to create the negative energy by creating wars and just money, so people can stay poor and stuff like that. So then the dead ones feed off the negative energy.
Wow.
That's just that. They can't communicate through the mind net. So when you enter the mind net, in a positive mode, you enter the higher vibrations, and you're in contact with God, with the superconscious, and the rest of the beings are with the superconscious. So any being that's with the superconscious, you can communicate with.
And then the Anunnaki, was that who contacted you that first time?
Yes. The word Anunnaki itself means those who from the heavens to earth came. So it basically means any alien, really, to be technical. So any alien that comes to earth is an Anunnaki. But when we say Anunnaki, we're talking about the gods of old, not when the reptilians came and pretended to be the gods. I'm talking about the Elohim, the original gods that came to earth and created man from the Homo erectus genes.
Oh, okay. Because I for some reason, I was under the impression Anunnaki were inhabitants of Planet X.
That the gods that came and created man, Sitch and Self, they came from Planet X, and in search of gold to ionize the atmosphere. But also, I think the gold was to transmit it to monoatomic gold particles, which is the most powerful psychedelic known to man, and it makes your eyes glow. So I think there's two reasons why they first came. But as far as being from Planet X to ionize, they have a planet to ionize this gold in. So it was a planet. Was it the 12th planet? A planet that travels around our sun, around a dark star that travels around our sun every 3,600 years? It might be, because that's exactly what the Mayans say. And the Mayans knew what part of the galaxy we were in before a lot of people were trying to figure out if the Earth was flat or round. So you probably want to trust what the Mayans have to offer, especially if they end their calendar in 2012, 3,600 years after major catastrophes happened before. But I'm not the person to say, that I'm going to predict a time or anything, because I don't know, to tell you the truth. All I know is that we were contacted, and we were told to make this music to shift Earth's consciousness. And until that happens, we'll get our other, information to what we're supposed to do, but that's going to take a while.
So, I have a question then. This stuff that's happening, because there is, like, I know there's political changes, there's earth changes, there's wars, that kind of stuff. That's all, three-dimensional kind of stuff, or four-dimension, because, it happens through time. But I'm wondering, is this all part of some bigger thing? Because you've got beings who can join the mind, who can, access the mind net, including, pure humans? And you've got these other beings that cannot. Are they our foe? Are they or are they just, like you said, the alligator trying to live?
They're just the alligator trying to live, but the alligator is the zebra's foe at that time. So at this time, yes, they are our foe.
So they're our foe, though, in our own dimensions.
Yes, they are.
There's no bigger war that's coming about in the heavens or in the mind net. That's there for us, no matter what's going on right now.
Can you repeat that?
That there's no other bigger thing going on? Like, there's no good or evil in the mind net, or is there?
Well, past the fifth dimension, evil cannot exist, because the infinite negativity leads to absolutely nothing, but the infinite positivity leads to everything. So everything past the fifth dimension is positive.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Basically heaven.
That's cool. Okay. Because I was just wondering, because I had heard from several other sites that there's more going on than meets the eye.
Well, you're talking about outer space. That's still in the three-dimensional realm.
Yeah.
The negativity of other planets and stuff like that. But when they die and enter the fifth dimension, there's no negativity up there either. But as far as other
So there's two things then. There's two distinctly different things that we're talking about. We're talking about the mundane kinds of things, the stuff in the four X, you know, the four normally accessible dimensions, and those are the wars, the earth changes, like all these bizarre things that are happening and coming to a head because of the 3600 year cycle. And then there's also as a distinctly separate kind of thing that you're teaching is how to get beyond all this.
Right, to the next realm.
Okay.
And the point where the next realm meets this realm is through our minds. We have a warp hole in every one of our minds. Most of us don't even know it. That's the warp. That's the way to the fifth dimension is through every being that lives on the animal on the earth's head in the universe. It's, I don't know if that made much sense.
Well, you're saying that everybody's got this thing about that. Well, you mean purebred. I mean, because you had mentioned before.
Hybrids, but even hybrids can turn positive. Like, you know, JFK, for instance, you know, but look what happened to him, though. It's harder when you're in these secret societies and you try to go good because you have so many things against you and things like that, but it's a free will type thing, but it's for the hybrids that are just totally programmed since the beginning, it's almost virtually impossible for them. They're destined to enter the lower fourth dimension when they die.
Absolutely fascinating. I hate that. That means we're stuck basically in the opposite of nirvana right now.
In a way, you can achieve the heaven on earth. You know, you can achieve the heaven on earth, and you can achieve the hell on earth. It's up to you what you want to do. It's simply, you know, change every little thing that you do every day, and pretty soon you'll find yourself in a place that is vastly better than where you were at.
So the kinds of things, though, that we can do to taste this other realm is listen to your music, do the astral projection, the safe or legal psychedelics, things like that, and we can get to this place. We're always coming back here, though, until our final breath, though, right? This is stuff that I know nothing about. I'm sorry. Let me find out, though. You've put together on your website several other these are either musicians or groups, and these are like I wrote down a few of them. There's I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce this right. Kanan.
Yeah, Kanan.
Kanan and Half Man and Black Lotus and Run Amok and Spectre and Technology and Kings of Killabeast. These are other folks doing similar things, or other folks who you like. I mean, what are these folks?
You know, it's basically the artists that I've met on my journey that have clicked with me, and that I found that I think they have talent to where I'd want to, you know, be associated with them. And Kanan, he's actually helped me compose one song on the Galactic Sound Waves, and that right there is good enough for me. You know, that everybody I meet. In the chosen artist arena, or everybody I meet along my journeys, whoever's an artist, a good artist, I put them on the chosen artist arena, you know, just simply for me trying to help people out.
Oh, excellent. So
Octo, Red October, he's John, he was with me during the contact, so he's on the chosen artist arena simply because he was with me, so he's kind of on the same level as I am. I produce his music, and he's a rapper, so that's kind of how he's in the chosen artist arena, and the rest of them are just kind of people I've met along the journey.
Oh, that's neat. And I have so your CD, it's available off your website, right?
You can go to infotron.com and get it. And you could just call the phone number. It's toll free 1-877-424-9560, and you can get it there for it's only $11.95. We're not like trying to charge exorbitant amounts because we probably want everybody to try to hear this. We're actually going to drop the price too because we found a better deal, so we can start charging like $8.95 now. But it's the greatest music on the planet. It's 15 songs on there, and nothing is like it. It will ascend you to the mind. And I'll give out the phone number one more time just for people who need to get a pen or something.
Yes, please.
1-877-424-9560. You can call that number and get the Galactic Sound Waves. Just call from 9 to 5 Pacific time, so I'd be like from 12 to 8 Eastern time. And, well, right.
Yeah, I'm trying to write all this down. Because the thing is, I'm unable to get hold of one of your songs right now to play it on the air live. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to promise to play one of them, at least, on the next Ghostly Talk. And hopefully Scott L. will be with us, and we can talk about it. But we're going to play one. We'll remind folks about the phone number and the website after we play that, but that'll make a great like follow up segment kind of thing to the interview.
Right.
I think.
Kind of come back. This is awesome format you guys got here.
Oh, I know we like it. We've had some pretty interesting guests, and so far this is a bit of a break. You're a bit of a break from our normal guest kind of folks, but you're something that we're amazingly interested in because, for example, Scott's a musician himself.
Right.
So he digs music, right? And then of course I read just anything and everything having to do with the paranormal. So when you're talking UFOs and being a contactee and things like that, I just knew we had to somehow get you on. And so I'm really glad that you showed up today.
I'm glad too. This is awesome.
So I appreciate it. This is the end of the segment, though. We do have to go to break.
Yes, we do.
And if you can hang on, I'll talk with you through the break, and then we'll have to let you go. But I have to say publicly on the air, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
And don't forget that this is DJ Tron of Infatron.com, infatron.com. And we'll be back with more Ghostly Talk after this break.
Resmorize me. How did that kid get in there?
Are you mourning the recent loss of a loved one? Are you shocked at the sky-high prices funeral homes are charging for a coffin? Just because someone's dead doesn't mean you have to end up dead broke. Hi, I'm Marty Gleckman for Casket Carnival.
Casket Carnival, you won't lose your shirt.
I'm Morty Gleckman, inviting you to join me at the fun place to shop for caskets, the Casket Carnival. We've got lots of games and prizes, and since many of our coffins are scratch and dent or gently used models, we pass the savings on to you at Casket Carnival. Just listen to this unsolicited testimonial.
My grandmother, God rest her soul, passed away recently at the age of 91. I had to shop around for caskets, and most of them cost thousands of dollars. Then I came to the Casket Carnival, and they sold me one for 99 bucks. Hey, the lid was missing, but I doubt that Grandma noticed. We saved so much money, we're taking the kids to Disneyland.
Thanks, Grandma.
Yeah, thanks, Grandma. And the Casket Carnival is fun for the whole family. Hey, kid, come here. How are you doing?
Not so good, Morty. My Uncle Clarence just passed away.
Yeah, that's too bad. Hey, you want to spin the Casket Carnival big wheel?
Sure.
Okay, kid, let her rip. Yikes, congratulations, kid. You won a coupon good for 10% off one of our coffins. And unlike Uncle Clarence, that coupon won't expire. You know, kid, your dad looks a little pale. Here, why don't you take two coupons?
Thanks, Morty. You're the best. I love the Casket Carnival. Whee!
Don't mention it. At the Casket Carnival, you'll have a good time and save money. And don't forget to say hello to our lovable mascot, Embalmo the Clown.
Hey, yeah, there. Thanks for coming to the Casket Carnival. You're really going to dig our prices there. Don't forget to ask about our layaway plan, eh? Hey, geez, what's wrong with these people? I'm dying up here, huh?
Mommy, Mommy, that clown is scaring me.
Ignore him, Wilbur. Everyone else is.
Hey, Mommy, you like balloon animals? Guess what this is.
Oh, my God, you're sick.
Yeah, well, you can just kiss my ass.
We're the Casket Carnival. Be sure to stop by this weekend for our open house. There'll be free hot dogs and sodas, and as a special treat, the kids can get their faces painted by our staff mortician, Roger Mortis. And hey, are you in the market for a cut-rate cemetery plot? We recently removed our old septic system out behind the Casket Carnival, and we've turned this fertile ground into a discount graveyard. Now, for as little as 50 bucks, your loved ones can be interred right behind the Casket Carnival. Hurry, space is limited. And look for the grand opening of our newest store, Cremation Station, the fun place to shop for all your cremation needs. Remember what Embalmo the Clown always says.
At the Cremation Station, we want to earn your business. You know, sometimes I wish I were dead.
Casket Carnival, you won't lose your shirt. It's the Casket Carnival. When we shovel on the dirt, we'll make sure you really think before we stick you in your brain. We will steal you.
We'll be right back.
I'm just listening to the bumper. My favorite. You know, Scott did that bump, that, you know, that lead-in, lead-out stuff. He did that lead-out one, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and Scott L. has impeccable taste. I mean, that's Ramones, right? Or who is that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'll have to ask him, because I want that whole song. Next. Anyway, this is Doug, and who are you?
I'm Will.
Yeah, and we are Ghostly Talk this week. We're live Sundays, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Immediately following Ghostly Talk is a new show on Zero Point Radio. This week, I guess, is its new premiere.
The Martian Revelation.
Is that what it is?
It will come up in the banner ads.
Yeah? I thought it was called The Mars Revealer.
Is it? I don't know.
Are we going to watch banner ads now for half an hour? So let's see. What's the next one? Ghostly Talk? Yeah. You know, when you're in the chat rooms, if you go to www.zprradio.com, click on Interact, go down to Chat. There's you can make up a name and get in the chat room and talk to, like, all kinds of cool people. And, of course, the
Martian Revelation, or a.k.a. Mars Revealer. That's the guy's name.
Oh, Mars Revealer does the Martian Revelation. Yes. Okay. I'll get this right yet. So that's coming up live. That's a live show, I believe, and it's right after Ghostly Talk on Sunday nights.
So we have to actually finish on time now.
I don't know if I can do it. I think I'm going to go over. So anyway, if you want to talk to us, we're at 1-888-4. What are we at?
1-888-520-1969.
Okay. Yes. If you want to chat with us, we did get a Phobos question. I don't know if Phobos will call tonight though, because Scott L's not here. See, I'd love to have Scott L here, you know, for the first official you know, stump Phobos question.
That's all right.
You know, I mean, if Phobos calls, we'll try and stump. What?
We'll start it next week.
Yeah? Okay. We can. That's not a problem. So anyway, what'd you think?
It's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Was very intriguing, the whole mind net.
A contactee. I mean, how cool is that? Now, you've got a UFO story, though, don't you?
I've actually had a couple run-ins with UFOs. Actually.
Yeah.
One of them was, I was about 13 years old. I was staying at a friend's house with another friend. His parents were gone at a wedding, and we watched a movie. And you know, when you turn the lights off in a house, you look outside, you can see things very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked over to the window and was just looking outside, and there was this cloud, and it had this yellow disc shape in it, and it was moving around. It would stop. It would move around, and this went on freshly a few hours. About halfway through the experience, there was a second one that showed up, and it just kept going on like that, and all of a sudden it was gone.
And this was in Chesterfield? Or
New Baltimore, actually.
New Baltimore, Michigan.
This is actually in the subdivision that I live in. It was right around the corner.
Well, you know, several years ago, what approximately what year or what year?
I would have been 13, so it would have been about 11 years ago.
Yeah? Because what was it, about 5 or 6 years ago? There was actually what they had called on several of the websites, a Michigan thumb flap. Evidently, they call it a flap when lots of sightings are reported. And so that's, I guess, ended up becoming quite a hot spot.
Actually,
well, a little bit north of there is what would be considered the thumb. But
all along I-69 is considered a hot spot, which I-69 runs from Indiana north and then once it gets about a third of the way up, it then heads east, and then goes all the way to Port Huron.
Yeah.
But I-69, basically when it starts going east all the way across, and then actually all the way up the water into the Thumb of Michigan, is all hot spot through Port Sanilac and Forestville. I saw a UFO in just north of Port Sanilac.
Yeah.
It would have been pushing 2 years ago now. We were driving up to Port Hope, and it was pretty late. It was about midnight. We got out of Port Sanilac, got out to the back out in the sticks again, and we could see everything really well. And there was a light in the sky that was changing every color in the rainbow.
Wow!
And it was always just one. It was always one color, and it would go from red to green to blue and all over.
One thing I do not have in my experience is. Identify. I've never. I I don't believe I've ever seen a UFO. I mean, I think I can explain anything I've ever seen say, okay, that's not a UFO.
When I had a friend of mine, his mother told me about a UFO in Harrison Township, Michigan.
Well, that's right over here. I mean, that's
right,
like
that's really
5 minute drive from here. Yeah,
it's really close. It was back in the 70s and late. I think it was late 70s that a UFO actually came down real close to the water there along the Clinton River. And
why?
It hovered there for about 5 to 10 minutes and then took off. But it just engulfed the entire area in red light.
Wow.
And I guess there were about 200 witnesses to it.
Let's answer the phone. See what we got. Hi, you're on Ghostly Talk.
Hi, my name's Steve. I'd like to know exactly what you think ghosts are made of. Is it just energy?
Steve, let me think. You're Steve from Nexus Domain?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, what an honor to talk to you.
Hey.
Now, you're first of all, I can tell you that. I can tell you the answer to that. Or I can tell you what I think they are, you know, anyway. But I want to talk to you a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You're one of the hosts, the two hosts of Nexus Domain, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right here on Zero Point Radio?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me first about your show and when it is and stuff like that.
Okay, well, our show is Nexus Domain Paranormal Talk. And it is, well, we actually updated our show time to 2 hours. It used to be 1.5 hours. Now it is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday evening, and it is on Zero Point Radio, streamed on Zero Point Radio, but we, of course, have our own independent stream, and we have a new guest on every week. We're actually going to have Res Miranda on the next show.
Oh, my gosh.
Cool.
Yeah, we had her when we first got our Ghostly Talk phone line thing in.
Yeah.
She was the first person to call.
Oh, wow.
It was a wonderful way to break in the phone line. She is phenomenal.
Yeah, she is.
She, of course, does Resmerize on Zero Point Radio. You had Stanton Friedman on, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was that?
I
missed the show.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. You can pick up the archive if you want on our site. Yeah, we have...
One thinks, one will.
Yeah.
your site is nexusdomain.something or?
Well, actually, it's nexusdomain.anything. It's .com.org.net.
Oh my gosh.
So,
that's awesome.
We have, our radio, where you can, find the radio stream and the guest schedule, archives, all that. That is at radio.nexusdomain.org. And you can pick up all the archives, the show times, and we're actually broadcasting right now, so archives and everything.
Oh, I see. So you guys stream your archives all the time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And some music, you know.
I have to say, it's an honor to talk to you. Now, what are ghosts, huh? It depends on what you mean.
Because
unfortunately, there's many different kinds of ghosts. And, like, for example, the two classic kinds are going to be the, you know, independent thinking kind of ghosts, the kind that one would think of in a ghost story, for example.
Yeah.
But a very popular kind of ghost sighting is a completely different kind of ghost that would be, something that repeats itself and usually...
Like a memory, an imprint.
Yeah, an imprint and things like that. So there's different kinds. So are you talking about the independent thinking kind of haunting ghost, or are you talking about the imprint kind of ghost?
Well, actually, I don't know. I was kind of talking about both. Maybe, you know, they're both made out of energy. I don't know, because if it was a repeating memory, pretty much, and an imprint, that would still be some kind of energy. I mean, you know, maybe they're both made out of the same thing, or... I'm actually pretty much talking about the thinking kind of ghost.
Okay, so you're... Okay. Don't answer your own question. Let me try it, okay?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm thinking is, it's been explained to me recently that my own theory of ghosts may or may not be correct.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of theories. And let me first show you mine. And then I'll tell you what our guest last week might answer that question with. So what happens is, a ghost is, I think, a departed person. It's somebody who has, you know, you have a spirit, you have a soul, you've got this independent thing that, that is not necessarily part of your body. And this part of you, this thing that defines you, your spirit,
yeah,
after your body, you know, dies, because bodies are not, you know, meant to live forever. After your body dies, your spirit then continues on. And your spirit is, it defines you and all that you have been, and of course then all that you will be. And this is your own person. That is you. And it's not physical. And it is energy. And not really energy, okay. It has energy properties.
Yeah.
Let's say that. And this bit of you is also part of the universe. It's part of everything. Assuming that you're, you know, not a demon. And because a demon is a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
But or an angel, because an angel is a different kind of thing. So if you're not a demon and you're not an angel, if you're not one of those otherworldly entities, if you are a normal human spirit entity kind of thing, then you are just part of the universe as well. And it goes on to hopefully bigger and better things, or it comes back as a ghost, or it comes back in a new body to grow.
As
an entity. So your ghost, what people would see of you is the independent thinking part of you, your spirit, and it's it uses energies available in the atmosphere, available in our three-dimensional, four-dimensional world. It uses those things available here to manifest itself so that it could be filmed, because a lot of ghosts are not visible, or are not they don't appear as mists, they don't appear as orbs, they don't appear as vortexes. they don't appear on film. Some of them will appear only on, you know, in, if they want to appear, they'll appear in audio tape, you know, and things like that. So these, it uses energies, you know, mundane energies to try and get its little message across, although I'm sure it's quite an important message if it's trying to get it across from the other side. But basically, when you are a ghost, you are in another realm coincidental with our realm. It's a dimension is the wrong word for it.
Yes.
But it's a place, it is here, but it is everywhere. And that's what you are when you're a ghost.
Well, actually, there is kind of a word for that. Maybe a higher density.
That's actually something that a lot of people are talking about now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about densities. They're talking about wavelengths.
Mm.
Because here in our, you know, human brains, we can picture what a wavelength is, because we've all gotten zapped by electricity, because everybody, I think, has stuck a fork in an electric socket and felt what a wave feels like. And you also see the graphs and charts and stuff like that that describe what television is when it's floating through the air.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a wave. It's a repeated, cyclic-looking wave that goes up and down, and like a polygraph kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you've got, or like a heart monitor kind of thing, is going beep, 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 up and down. So everybody knows what a wavelength looks like. So they talk about the higher wavelengths and lower wavelengths, and frequencies, of course, is a property of a wavelength.
Yeah.
So people talk about that kind of stuff. And, yes, densities describes it better. Densities or wavelengths and frequencies describe it better than like dimensions. Because a dimension, what do you think of when you think of dimension?
I think of you're entering a portal, and it's not really in the same place. I think of density as just, molecules on a different frequency.
Right.
In the same place.
Right, hence phase shifting and that kind of stuff from Star Trek. Yeah, so you could be in a different phase and not see other people, and other people could not see you.
Yeah.
But you see everything in that same phase kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what I think. That's also much more along the lines of what our guest last week would have thought. She was trying to explain to me, although I speaking of density, I am kind of dense. And I believe she was trying to explain to us that these, more like what you're saying, densities, that these things do coincide, and that some people do have the ability to see at different densities or hear at different densities. Although she didn't use the term densities, but, you know, going in our conversation, that's the word that fits. And you know, those would be our psychics. And things like that. And there are people with the ability to create little portholes and things like that so that others can see or hear between the different realms in that case. So you know, my mine's a bit new agey. My definition of a ghost is a bit new agey.
Oh, and, really? I mean, if you think about it.
And hers is a lot more scientific.
Yeah, it is. I mean.
Yeah. Even though she's the psychic and I'm the scientist, yeah. I think our definitions might be flipped. But I think that the truth is going to be some kind, you know, what nobody knows. I mean, unless you've experienced the truth or nirvana or something like that, you wouldn't know the actual truth and or be able to comprehend it. The truth is going to be some kind of amalgam of all of the people's theories of what a ghost is.
Yeah, it's still, you know, pretty much a mystery. I don't know if anybody will ever figure it out. I'm sure somebody will, but...
Well, Phobos will publish a paper on it.
Yeah.
that'll be it, then.
Should be you.
Did you hear about the Stump Phobos contest?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you going to write in?
Possibly, yeah.
Do you think you could stump him?
I don't know about that.
Has he called Nexus?
Who, Doug, right?
No, I'm Doug, but has Phobos called Nexus?
Oh, Phobos.
Jeff.
Actually, I'm not sure. Couple people have.
Is Jeff from the UK?
Oh, yeah, he has.
Ah, that's Phobos. And has he stumped you guys? Or kept you speechless?
Yeah, pretty much. Last show, last night he said he dominated the phone lines, and he had to...
The thing is, he's so awesome, and I just can't even imagine a better caller or a better friend or a better person to talk to about paranormal stuff. What does Nexus Domain cover now? Because now you went from you were UFO, right?
Yeah, well, we do study all the aspects of ufology, but now we have an independent study going on in our organization that. Everybody is taking part in our organization in. It's called Project Pyramid, and we're trying to figure out, it's a research study that is trying to figure out how the pyramids were built and why they were built, what their purpose was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's something Scott L. would be interested in hanging out with. Yeah, Scott L., he ran out and spent all of his Christmas money on pyramid books. You know, books about, I mean, this is what he did with his own spending cash, right?
Yeah.
He went out and bought the books by the people who do the pyramid work, and he studies that constantly in his spare time.
Yeah, we're starting to see that it was, had something to do with...
The Anunnaki.
Energy.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that?
Energy. It had something to do with, energy. We're starting to, like... some kind of power plant. That's the best word I can.
Have you studied any writings or anything like that on?
Yeah, you just said the Anunnaki. I know.
Yeah, no, I don't want to talk about them anymore. no, I'm thinking now along the lines of: have you studied any stuff on what's the opposite of Lemuria, the sunken city?
Mu. Or Atlantis?
Atlantis. Have you studied Atlantis?
Yeah.
And they had, according to Edgar Cayce anyway, and probably several other people, a power source.
Yeah.
That was this crystal of some kind, was their power source, and it was able to transmit power through the air to these subcrystals throughout their continent. And this, and of course, you know, when that no longer worked, then everything got quite upset, and their continent sunk. So you've got this power source that can transmit power through the air, perhaps at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, and this is where the zero point energy comes in. You know, whatever energy ancient people had back then. You know, do you know what zero-point energy is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's obviously in the zero-point radio name. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, because the name change was something else. But I do know what zero-point energy is. I've studied Tesla and all that, so I'm pretty up on the topic, yes.
Free energy.
Yes.
But yeah, it looks like the zero point energy that we had today. All of the ancient civilizations, the energy they used, looks like the zero point energy that is being reported today in UFOs and what the government's using, all those stories and everything.
So now we're talking. We're trying to tie together then what the pyramids. With some kind of zero-point energy source.
Hmm. Well,
and,
no.
And of course, now now for the past couple of minutes, we've been mentioning different things about zero-point energy, such as perhaps here on the Earth there was one, you know, back in the time of Atlantis, and you know, who knows what if there was one? What if they had one under the control during the pyramid building?
Well, I think one of my hypotheses that I've come up with so far in this project is that every pyramid around the world, you know how there are pyramids all around the world, many of them have been reported to have some kind of zero-point energy source in the past, in the ancient past. And this kind of leads me to believe that either these pyramids were, refueling stations for if a ship was going to another continent and back, or, you know, some other landmass, they would always have that pyramid to refuel at. That's one of my ideas. That hasn't been backed by any evidence or anything, but, you know, that's just a thought. I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you can see in the past, that's as good as any other theory I've heard.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to do, though, is I'm going to have to let you go because we've got to close the show because do you know what's on after Ghostly Talk tonight?
Oh, what is?
Mars something.
Mars Revelation.
Yes, Mars Revelation. So I've got to actually end on time.
Oh, okay. I shouldn't really talk too much. I should have let somebody else call in.
No, Steve. I want you to call in as often and as much as you can.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Thanks, cool. And I'll catch you on your show.
Okay.
On Saturdays.
Okay, thank you.
All right, cool. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, bye.
Okay. I guess this is going to do it. This is the first and hopefully last Scott L. Liss Ghostly Talk. I have to say thanks to Infotron, my guest of, you know, the show, and thanks to Steve for calling in.
Definitely.
You guys, Ghostly Talk live Sundays from 7 till 9 p.m., immediately followed by the Mars Revealer. And on Zero Point Radio,
www.zprradio.com.
He's probably listening and he's all nervous. Hey, we are excited and we can't wait to hear you on. So with that, I'm going to close the show. Send your questions for Stumping Phobos to ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com. Don't forget your answer. We'll get Phobos on the phone and we'll ask him your question. If you stump him, you'll get a prize. If not, then don't worry, you'll be just like everyone else. So thank you, everybody. www.ghostlytalk.com is my site. And with that, I'm Doug.
And I'm Will.
Happy birthday, Will.
Thank you.
Join us next week. True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.